I'm Christine Sandy, and I'm the Program Director of the Rural Health Information Hub. I'd like to welcome you to today's webinar. This is the first in a four-part series that we're hosting in collaboration with the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy on rural maternal health. Today's webinar will focus on achieving birthing-friendly status in rural hospitals. We've provided a copy of the slides on the RHI Hub website, and that's accessible through the URL that shows on your screen. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers for today's webinar. First, we'll hear from Dr. Kristen Dillon. Dr. Dillon is a family physician with several decades of experience working in rural communities. She serves as the Chief Medical Officer at the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy. Her responsibilities include advising on clinical care and the rural impacts of federal policy. In addition, she works with grantees, technical assistance providers, state offices of rural health, and other stakeholders to improve the stability and capacity of rural communities' health systems. Stephanie Clark is a pediatric nephrologist and medical officer in the Quality Measurement and Value-Based Incentives Group within the Center of Clinical Standards and Quality at CMS. She is the end-stage renal disease measure lead and works on kidney-related topics across CMS. In addition, she supports CMS's maternal health efforts along with a knowledgeable and passionate team of colleagues. She continues to see patients regularly at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Jacqueline Wallace is the medical officer for the statewide perinatal quality collaborative program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Wallace is an OBGYN physician with a deep commitment to woman-centered care that respects ethnic and cultural diversity, delivered through the lens of reproductive health as a human right. And our last speaker will be Cassie Phillips. She is the team lead within the maternal and women's health branch of the Division of Healthy Start and Perinatal Services within HRSA's Maternal and Child Health Bureau. Cassie leads the maternal health workforce and training team, which encompasses programs working to increase quality of care, the capacity of healthcare providers, and to set standards to advance maternal health in the United States. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Dillon.
Hello. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We can tell from the over 600 of you who registered for this webinar that there's strong commitment across our country to transform our rural healthcare system and achieve safer, higher quality care, and better outcomes across pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and the newborn period. I want to thank my colleagues from within the U.S. federal government's Department of Health and Human Services, and also our partners at Rural Health Information Hub for contributing to this series. Here at the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, we have a specific role in improving health and health care for the 1 in 5 Americans who live in rural areas. So many of us are watching with alarm as the landscape for maternity care in rural communities changes. Based on recent CDC data, the rates of maternal death have risen over the past 30 years, and death rates as of 2019 were highest in rural communities and small towns. In rural communities, the risk of death was nearly double that of the lowest risk group, which was residents of suburban communities. So this happens in a context where many rural birth centers are closing, impairing access to optimal care. And it's for this reason that the final installment in our series on April 23rd will focus on strategies for hospitals that do not have birth units, how they can define and train to a scope of care that will optimize outcomes for pregnant, birthing, and postpartum patients who are still going to arrive at their facilities seeking help. From our office, we do see the many struggles that rural hospitals and healthcare providers face. Finances, workforce, technology, extreme weather events, changing demographics. We understand all of the factors that compete for your time and attention. And that's why I'm so grateful that so many of you have chosen to join today to learn and then, we hope, to improve and demonstrate your capacity to provide maternity care that's high quality, safe, and patient-centered. So I'm a practicing family physician. For nearly 20 years, I provided obstetrical care in rural critical access hospitals, and I've seen the amazing promise of close-to-home birthing services at such an important life transition for our patients. I've also experienced caring for patients during harrowing obstetrical and neonatal emergencies, many of which we could not have anticipated. I've seen the life-saving potential of identifying complications early, preparing and practicing for emergencies, bringing consistency to our care practices wherever that's appropriate, and learning to work as a team. And that's why we decided to focus the first three webinars in our maternity care series on the new CMS measure. It evaluates hospitals on foundational competencies, learning collaboratively across a peer group, and standardizing care processes. These are not check-the-box activities. Doing the work to meet this measure will help your staff do a better job and help your patients have confidence in the care you provide. They may take substantial work, but it's the work we need to be doing to improve outcomes for birthing people and babies in our country. So I couldn't be more pleased to have my colleague, Dr. Stephanie Clark from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services here today. And she's going to now share more about the Birthing Friendly Hospital designation. Dr. Clark.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dillon. And you really have set the stage beautifully for us to talk a little bit more about the Birthing Friendly Hospital designation and why it's so important to the patients that we serve and the newborns that we serve. So we'll talk first about the current designation. It's awarded to hospitals on an annual basis as part of the Hospital Compare Fall Refresh, which usually happens in October. The inaugural designations were awarded in October 2023. And really, this designation builds on the White House blueprint for addressing the maternal health crisis. And as Dr. Dillon just eloquently said, we really truly do have a crisis. The designation is awarded to hospitals that positively attest to the maternal morbidity structural measure in the hospital inpatient quality reporting program for the prior calendar year. The maternal morbidity structural measure was developed by CMS in 2019 for the IQR program. It is a high priority for CMS to address the maternal health crisis. And as you all know, increasing rates of severe maternal morbidity in the US nearly doubled from 1993 to 2014. And more than 50,000 women were affected by severe maternal morbidity in 2014. Again, truly a crisis. This measure was intended to fill a gap in which CMS did not have any hospital level measures addressing maternal morbidity. And again, this is the basis for the Birthing Friendly Hospital designation. So before getting into more detail about the history of the maternal morbidity structural measure, I want to make note that two new electronic clinical quality measures for maternal health have been added to both the hospital IQR and promoting interoperability programs. I also just want to highlight these measures are not currently in the Birthing Friendly designation. These measures, again, are ECQMs, and the first one is severe obstetrics complications. It measures the proportion of patients with severe obstetrical complications that occur during the inpatient delivery hospitalization. The second of the two is the cesarean birth ECQM. It measures the rate of nulliparous women with a term singleton baby in a vertex position delivered by C-section. And just to note that the voluntary reporting was for calendar year 2023, and mandatory reporting started with calendar year 2024. I also want to highlight that both of these measures are in the Promoting Interoperability Program and so would apply to critical access hospitals. So just to go back to the maternal morbidity structural measure conceptualization initially, the goal was to develop a structural measure that incentivized hospitals to engage in meaningful quality improvement to reduce maternal morbidity. The aims were participation in a quality improvement initiative aimed at improving maternal outcomes during inpatient labor, delivery, and postpartum care. We wanted a specific focus on morbidities known to be associated with mortality and low burden. Other considerations, including state-based and national quality improvement initiatives, could be advantageous to hospitals, resulting in improved quality quickly, just like Dr. Dillon mentioned. And I just want to say that the maternal morbidity structural measure in its current form is a starting place. It's the first step in what we hope will be a robust designation with additional measures and domains in the future. This could include modification of the structural measure, addition of those two new ECQMs, as well as patient-reported outcome and experience measures. And so again, we hope that this is the first step and will continue to move forward from here. And I have put the maternal morbidity structural measure question up on the screen just so that you can see it. It asks hospitals, does your hospital or health system participate in a statewide and or national perinatal quality improvement collaborative program aimed at improving maternal outcomes during inpatient labor, delivery, and postpartum care? And has it implemented patient safety practices or bundles related to maternal morbidity to address complications, including but not limited to hemorrhage, severe hypertension or preeclampsia, or sepsis. You then can choose yes, no, or not applicable if your hospital does not provide inpatient labor or delivery care. In terms of measure reporting, hospitals report this measure to CMS on an annual basis with regard to their maternal health efforts for the prior calendar.